The next morning, I woke up and started checking things off my to-do list. One of the most important tasks was getting our marriage license to my uncle, who was officiating. I went outside to the truck to grab it, and the truck was gone. Oh no. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Innes, and I am recording at night. And so it feels a little moody, a little different. Mom life kind of got in the way. Actually, no, I think I can blame it on that. And it's not a blame anyway, but I just feel like I try to batch record and then I push off solo episodes until the last minute sometimes because I'm like, okay, I want like updated information on there so that when it comes out, it doesn't feel too late. And there's just been so much going on, personal life, business life, and everything else, just trying to manage it all. Moms, parents, I mean, anyone listening, life is busy, right? You guys know how that goes. But I feel like we'll have these kind of like slow moments and then all of a sudden it just gets really crazy, or I'll let myself have a really quiet morning and just hang out with my daughter. And then all of a sudden it's like panic mode of like, oh my gosh, I have 8 things to get done during her 3-hour nap time. So it's just been kind of crazy. She's in T-ball now too. And so there's like night games. And so I think it just makes our evenings go a little bit quicker. So anyway, just a little behind the scenes. I'm just jumping right in this week, you guys. Before I get into today, what I am going to do is I have a dilemma that someone sent me. And then I have 2 stories we're going to read this week. And if you're watching the video, if I seem to be looking down, I'm still figuring out my camera situation. I know many of you guys are like sick of me saying it. It feels, especially when I have someone else on, it feels funny to just look at the camera and not the person's face. So I'm looking at the person's face, right? But then in the video, I'm looking down. And it's very hard for me. I'm very like, if I meet you in person, I'm looking at you in the eyes if I'm talking to you in person. So when it's solo, I can do it a little bit better. But even so, I'm looking at my notes. And so I feel like I'm looking all over the place. Okay, so like I said, I am recording this at night. My husband is in bed. My daughter's in bed. And I was like, I'm going to make myself a cup of tea. Here's my mug. It says, think happy thoughts. I'm drinking my bedtime tea. It's like a habit. I have to drink it every night. So yeah, starting off, just a couple of updates. I've been really loving this Scarlett skit, the groom's mom Scarlett skit. And just a little behind the scenes I've talked about a little bit. So this is based on a true story that was sent to me. But it's one of those where I'm I'm really going off the cuff because she gave me some great highlights, a little behind the scenes into their relationship. And then it kind of like skips ahead. And I was like really feeling like a detailed, longer skit. And she has provided me with extra information, but I've just have gone a little cuckoo with this one. But it's a lot of fun. But now I'm kind of like timing it off because I am going on a little family trip over the summer. I just want to make sure like I take a little break and really be present during the trip. So we're going to see how it all plays out. I might have to do a season 2 or something. Again, not holding my breath for that. Don't hold yours either. We will see. I know people are still holding their breath for the Elle and Vivian skit season 2. And if I could apologize 100 times over, I would. It's funny because I was these characters. I am these characters, you know, when I acted out. But you guys are so much better at remembering things than I am. Like, I was just at the Hilary Duff concert last weekend, and this woman came up to me and she was so sweet. And she was like, you read my story. And I was like, oh my gosh, what was the story? And she said it was about a bridesmaid that went AWOL, and they were like, I think it was a wild goose chase is what she said. And I was stumped. I was like, I cannot think of it. So if you guys can think of it, let me know. I think she said the character's name was Brooke. I need to still look it up. And I felt so bad because I was like, I can't remember your story. And I was like, there's certain ones that like really stick out to me just because I like grabbed them and I like ran with it. So I have to try to find her, or if someone can tell me, you know, if they remember a Brooke in a story. Her name was not Brooke. Just to be very clear, her name was not Brooke. She said the character in the story that I made was named Brooke. So I have to kind of figure that out. But back to the Ellen Vivian skit. So many people will go back, or they just found me and they're listening to the skit and they're like, what the hell? There's no season 2. Where's season 2? It said there's gonna be more coming. And when I did that, I didn't have a plan to do season 2. And all these other things started happening. Life happens. And they're like, well, she's putting out other skits. And I'm like, it's not like I'm avoiding it. I just like, yeah, I don't know. Also, once you do like a season 2, you have to go back to season 1 and make sure everything matches up. and like goes in line. One more thing I do want to say about the Elle and Vivian skin. This was okay to say and not giving it away. So I did receive an update from the person that we would call Elle, right? The person that wrote this in. And she did say her partner kind of wanted me to stop sharing more information because he was kind of afraid people would know it was them. And so I've changed a lot. So if you think it's someone, it probably is not. I've changed a lot. So season two is going to go way different. I do have plans for it eventually, but that would require me to go all the way back. Like I said, you guys are way better at remembering these things. Go back and listen to all of season one, which I can do, obviously, and then make my notes and plan out season two. So just think of it as like a TV show, guys. It's only me that's coming up with these skit ideas. So I don't have the whole team behind me writing them, editing and all that stuff. So just be patient with me. And again, I appreciate the love for all that. Okay, one more final update, and then I will promise I'll get to this stuff. I know people don't like the chit chat, but sometimes I just feel like I need a chit chat, especially when it's nighttime. I need to get the energy going because at night I'm like, my body's wanting to go to sleep. I was laying in bed with my daughter reading books with her, and I was like, I can't, like, I keep the energy going for this podcast. Okay, so one more update is I got the latest edits of book number two, Drama Ever After, just sent to me this week. So I send you guys updates here and there. So I have a lot of people asking about book number two. We are doing a slightly different process than the first one. The first one I did fully indie publisher. My husband helped me. We got it all together. We did the research. I had my friend design the cover. Look at this amazing cover. Shout out to Oak and Air. And she's just amazing. She helps me with all my branding stuff. Known her for years now. Anyway, so book two is going to be a little bit different of how we're trying to get this published. So we're going through so many different edits and all that stuff. So I just got that back. So I have to do another read through. The reason why I've been able to get this stuff out and skits out so quickly is because that was in the hands of someone else. So just letting you guys know, it might slow down a little bit. All right, let's get to the good stuff. Dilemmas. This was a dilemma someone sent me, a reminder that you guys can always send me new wedding dilemmas. You can DM me on social media or email me hello@KristaInnis. And these are things that you're currently going through and just want either some advice, you want some support, you want me to share it on social media to see what other people think, you want me to do a poll, whatever that looks like. So here we go. We're getting married this September, and my future mother-in-law hasn't contributed anything toward the wedding. We've paid for everything ourselves. She has had no input in planning, doesn't even want to walk my fiance down the aisle, but still insists on having her own walk down the aisle. What? She doesn't want to walk him, but she wants her own moment of walking herself. Okay. She also won't let me help her pick out a dress. She wants to wear a very low-cut V-neck dress. And when I gently suggested something with a little more coverage, she immediately said no. On top of that, she openly criticized my wedding shoes, saying they are such a bad brand. I can't believe she got those. Do they even match the dress? She's saying, like, girl, be for real. It's my wedding. My fiance's entire family will be there. And from everything I've heard, she's usually the one who starts the family drama and then plays the victim afterward. I'm honestly so nervous that she'll cause problems on the wedding day or refuse to participate altogether. At this point, it feels like she's only showing up because her son is getting married, not because she actually wants to support us. I'd love to hear your take on this matter. Ooh, that's a lot. Okay, first thing that I want to say is people show support in different ways. So I wouldn't necessarily say because someone's not contributing financially or showing interest in being a part of the planning doesn't mean they don't support you or they're not interested. That does not apply to this person. It sounds like she's making it very clear. Like, she wants it to be about her. The moments where she's included needs to be about her. She wants the dress she wants, which, again, I'm not super picky about a dress. But if you've been like, hey, here's a great mother of the groom dress. And she's like, no, I'm not doing that. She has comments about the dress. She wants to have her own walk down the aisle, which I think is very bizarre. Okay, so it sounds like she starts a lot of the family drama, which I don't love. Because people will probably know her as someone that's going to just stir the pot or say things that's what's ever on her mind. And that could make you a little nervous, right? I said this so many times before. I think as women, I think we get nervous more about this stuff and we overthink about it a lot. And we think it's our job to make sure everyone's doing exactly what they need to be doing, right? And a lot of times it does. It does come down to that. But when it comes to his mom and how she is acting, he needs to be the one that talks to her, because you are kind of an extension, right? I mean, of the new family, she's an extension, but of the old family, you are this new part coming in, right? So I don't know how their relationship is, but the fact that she is showing no interest, she's making comments about your shoe, she likes to start drama, tells me that she's trying to assert her own dominance. Oh, I don't care about this. Oh, I don't care about my son's wedding enough to really be involved. So I think if there's these concerns, you need to talk with your partner and then have your partner talk with her about what is maybe expected of her that day. Be very clear. We are not going to be having you walk down the aisle by yourself. This is what we would like. Can you walk Brian down the aisle? No, then okay, you will be sitting in this spot. It's hard when you anticipate something possibly happening, because unless there's an actual sure way to know, you can't really stop them from coming, right? Unless she's like threatened to do something, or you know, at every wedding she shows up wearing a white dress and a veil, you know, whatever that is. So I would just have people on standby. I would have your fiance talk to her, and you've got to speak her language, right? And I hate to say it like that, but it's like giving little tidbits, right? If she needs a little bit of control, or she needs to feel like she's heard in some way, have him give her a little bit and then be like, but this is our boundary and this is what we're doing. If there's anything that kind of goes outside of that, we're going to be swiftly like, it's your time to go. And I hate to be like that, but I think people like this thrive off a little bit of drama. And so if she feels like she has that control, and if things aren't going her way, she'll start a little bit of drama. We need to make sure she's on our toes. She knows the rules. And if she doesn't follow those rules, then she's going to be out the door. And I know that sounds very like cut and dry, but with someone like this, you just have to be ready for a plan B if something were to happen. She might surprise you. She might just not like to be a part of weddings, and she might just not know what to say. It does not excuse her rude comments about your shoes or any other rude comments she might have made or may make in the future. So leave everything to your fiance. Talk with him about what your concerns are. And as long as he's on the same page, you know he has your back. So let me know what you guys think in the comments about all of this. And I hope that helps. I hope you have a great wedding day come September. Again, if you have your own wedding dilemma, you can DM me on Instagram. It's probably the best social media platform to send it to me. Otherwise, you can email me hello@kristaennis.com. All right. I always feel like when I'm reading at night that I read so much like calmer, and it almost reminds me of people that read audiobooks. I know people are going to be like, you should read an audiobook for your next book. That's a lot of work. And I feel like I would lose my voice, but we'll see. Anyway, I've got two stories for you guys tonight. The first one's a little bit shorter, so let's get into it. Here we go. Sip of tea. Cheers. My husband and I got married almost 9 years ago in Denver. It was the second marriage for both of us. And we have adult kids and extended family who plan to join us for what was essentially a domestic destination wedding. Since some family members lived nearby while we lived out of state, we had planned a church ceremony and booked a restaurant downtown for the reception. It had been open for 34 years and served authentic French cuisine. It was in a great location, had decent parking for a busy city, and it was the perfect size for our smaller wedding of about 75 guests. Everything was set for a Saturday evening ceremony and reception. Then, 41 days before the wedding, family members saw on the news that the restaurant was closing. The land had been sold, likely for redevelopment. And I'm sure there's a skyscraper there now. 41 days. Oh no, this is taking a different turn than I saw. My husband called the restaurant to complain, but the manager told him he also found out the news and had just learned he was losing his job. The restaurant officially closed 2 weeks before our wedding. Thankfully, we did get our deposit back, which is very rare when things like that happen. We scrambled to call venues all over Denver, trying to find a replacement for our reception. Eventually, we found a place that was available and willing to do a tasting. It was primarily a breakfast and lunch spot, but hosted private events in the evenings. And luckily, they were open on our wedding date. Because I needed to save my vacation time for our honeymoon, My husband flew to Colorado alone and attended the tasting. He liked the food, so he booked it. That's how we ended up having our reception at a breakfast spot. It turned out to be a Creole restaurant, and despite the fact I'd never even tasted the food beforehand, it ended up being the best possible option. It wasn't what I originally had envisioned, but it saved the day, and I now have so many great memories from our reception at that amazing little place. Okay, that turned out to be a really cute story. I was not sure which way that was going to go. This also shows you brides, future brides, or just people in general that have an event coming up or something they're looking forward to. There are bad things that can happen, right? There are last minute things. Things will go wrong, right? But sometimes someone will come through and save the day. If you keep pushing and you're persistent, and there will be a solution. Not always what you see or not always what you had planned, but there will be some kind of solution. I know so many people that had their weddings canceled during COVID, like the height of COVID, you know, 2020, 2021, and people weren't getting their deposits back. Restaurants were closing. They were told, like, with no time. I had so many people that had to cancel or move locations, and that's a lot. Some didn't get married for years after because they couldn't find a spot. And it's so hard in those moments to be like, okay, this is for the best. Or is this what was supposed to happen? And you kind of want to, like, when someone says that, you're just like, okay, I don't need to hear that this was supposed to happen. But I'm glad they were able to look back and be like, okay, this worked out for the better. I'm glad it happened this way. So that one started off with like a kind of light drama issue. Just get us in there a little bit. All right, next story. Hey, drama lovers, big news. My book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the full story, packed with messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and all the heart you've come to love. And judging by your messages and posts, you're loving it too. Huge thanks to everyone who's already grabbed a copy early and shared it on social media. Your support means everything. If you haven't read it yet, now is the time. Head to KristaEnnis.com/book or click the link in the show notes. It's available in both print and ebook. Grab your copy before the spoilers start showing up in the comment sections, because trust me, you'll want to experience every jaw-dropping moment for yourself. Oh gosh, you guys, this one starts with, oh, do I have one for you? You know, this is going to be good when it starts like that. For some quick background, my husband and I had a semi-destination wedding about 6 hours from our home. It was a small wedding, and we rented a large Airbnb on the water for a long weekend, which is also where we held the ceremony. That's pretty cool. We decided on a no-kids wedding, which most people respected, aside from a little pushback from my sister-in-law, who had a baby that would have been almost one by the wedding. Thankfully, she didn't bring the baby. Since we had the Airbnb for the whole weekend, we invited some close friends and family to stay with us. The night and day before the wedding were spent setting everything up ourselves. That same night, the guys decided to go out to a bar. I begged my fiancé to stay with me, but he looked me dead in the eye and said, no. What do we feel about this? I was just doing a YouTube video about, oh, it was a wedding vendor. And she said the groomsmen didn't come home until 5 a.m. So when she was getting there to start doing makeup, the men were still outside, like drunk coming home. And she's like, meanwhile, the bridesmaids were a little drunk, but they were like better. And I've been a part of weddings like that so many times where it's like, okay, we've got like, maybe we'll have a glass of champagne, but we've got our eye masks on. We are in our jammies by like 9 p.m. We're going to bed early. And then the men are just out going rampant. And I'm just like, for my own wedding, there was a bar connected to the condo we used for our wedding stuff. My husband went with some of the groomsmen, but he was like, I don't want to be like hungover or uncomfortable. He doesn't even drink anymore. But like at this time he did. And he was like, I don't want to be hungover or not feel well like in the morning. So I'll have like one drink. I was like, you know, you're an adult, do whatever you want. But I hear about this a lot. So let me know what you guys think about this. If I had this preference where I was like, hey, just stay back. I know how your friends get. They get kind of crazy and we have to be up early or whatever. And they just go, no. I'd be questioning a lot, I think. It's like any other night, sure, whatever. But it's your wedding night. Okay. He came back Later that night, very drunk, I was annoyed, but figured as long as he was good to go for the wedding, I would let it go for the moment. Also, like, why do you want to be drunk before your wedding? Come on, like, wait till the party until after. That's what I don't get. I'm just like, have fun with your friends. No one's saying, like, don't go out and have fun. But it's like, you can't just reel it in a little bit one night. The next morning, I woke up and started checking things off my to-do list. One of the most important tasks was getting our marriage license to my uncle, who was officiating. I went outside to the truck to grab it, and the truck was gone. Oh no. I went back inside, woke up my fiance, and asked if he knew where it was. At first, we assumed someone had borrowed it to run a quick errand. We started calling around to the family and friends, and no one had it. Then we realized his brother was also missing. This is what I mean. This is what I mean, guys. Like, have you not seen The Hangover? Come on. We don't do a bachelor party or the bachelorette party the weekend of, especially not the night before, a wedding. Okay? Bad things happen. Let's just not do it. Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay. Cue the panic. We called and called with no answer. At that point, we started worrying something had happened, calling hospitals, trying to track him down. Finally, someone suggested we try calling the jail. Yep, he was in jail. This is like The Hangover. Searching all these places. Where's the brother? Where's the brother? Like, okay. Apparently, sometime during the night, he came back to the Airbnb, even though he wasn't staying there. Stole the truck, drove it drunk to meet with a one-night stand, got pulled over, and was arrested. Lesson, guys, don't drive drunk. Use an Uber. It still blows my mind when people get DUIs. I'm like, if you can't afford a DUI or be smart, call an Uber. It's not even about that. You could hurt someone, seriously. Like, that drives me so mad. Like, it makes me so mad when people are irresponsible with it. Oh my gosh, I could go on a whole thing about this. Okay. I was going to say it's someone that drove drunk. It's someone that was being irresponsible and dumb and drove drunk. Okay, so the truck has their marriage license in it. I'm not going to shame them and wonder why the marriage license was in the truck, but it is a weird spot for a marriage license. But that's besides the point. The brother should have never taken the truck. Okay, she says, oh, and the truck had been impounded with our marriage license inside. So instead of relaxing and getting ready for my wedding, I spent the entire morning tracking down which impound lot the truck was in so we could retrieve the license. We managed to find it, pay the impound fees, he better have paid you back, and get everything back just in time for the ceremony. Lord, I would be so livid. I don't even think I could look him in the face ever again. You ruined my wedding day because you were selfish for so many reasons. You stole our truck. You were drunk and you're going to meet a one night stand. You ruined that moment for her, for all of them. I would not be able to look at him. I'd be like, don't even be in the wedding at this point, please. I did end up running a bit late, but honestly, everyone expected me to at that point. The ceremony itself was beautiful, minus one groomsman who was still in jail because it was a holiday weekend and there was no judge available. Good. He should sit in jail and he should think about what he did. Miss your brother's wedding. You have to live with that for the rest of your life because you were dumb. Sorry. I married my husband and for a moment, I felt like everything had finally settled. Nope. Someone decided it would be a great idea to bail my brother-in-law out of jail and bring him straight to the wedding. Nope, that person's going to jail too. No, I'm not. I'm not doing that. I didn't say anything. I figured if my husband wanted his whole family there, then that was his decision. The next day, we were all still at the Airbnb enjoying the post-wedding hangout. Then my brother-in-law showed up again. I told my husband I didn't want him there, but he insisted his brother should stay. I'm not liking this fiance right now, and I'm sorry if he's your, well, I guess he's your husband now, and I'm sorry. But for one, he went out the night before, looked you in the face, came home drunk, okay, but we know this brother-in-law messed up the wedding morning. He was dumb. And now they're like, no, he should come hang out with us. Okay. She said, I let it go. Until everyone started drinking again. At some point, my brother-in-law said something to one of the groomsmen. Let's call him Jay. which turned into a full-blown argument that escalated into a physical fight. Who is this brother-in-law? Get him out of here. My husband stepped in and ended up with a broken toe trying to break it up. Brother-in-law's got to go. Says Jay left, but my brother-in-law went back inside the house. At that point, I was done. I went inside and told him to leave. He refused, saying he had every right to be there because his whole family was there. I told him the Airbnb was in my name, and if he didn't leave, I would call the police. Where is your husband at this time? Where is he? Because this is his responsibility. He needs to tell the brother to leave. You should not be having to tell him. He should be standing up for you. This is your husband now. Then I walked away. I ended up arguing with my husband, and I told him I wanted to press charges against his brother for stealing the truck. Yes. At that point, I stopped speaking to my husband altogether. This is a wild story, you guys. I went back downstairs. My brother-in-law had finally left, which was the only small win. Jay had been staying at the Airbnb too, but after the fight, I texted him to let him know he was no longer welcome and gave his room to another guest. Oh no. Was this Jay guy drinking now? So he's driving around drunk? I'm so confused. Later that night, Jay either ignored or didn't see my message and showed up anyway. That's going to be a problem. Everyone was already asleep when he arrived, drunk and loud, pounding on the door of the room my friend was now staying in. He woke everyone up, and before leaving, he punched a hole in the wall, causing more damage to the Airbnb. I see why you didn't want your husband to go out with these guys now, but also, like, why is he friends with guys like this? I shouldn't say they have drinking problems because I know, like, around weddings and events, people drink, but we all drink. Around weddings and events, whatever. But they sound aggressive. Your husband ignores you and does not have your back during any of this. I wouldn't want to marry someone like that. Like, they don't respect you. Also, very risky giving his room to a friend. Not your fault, but the fact that he could have just come home and just gone in that room if someone were, like, changing. You know, you just never know. That stuff freaks me out. Okay. Jeez. Through all of this, my husband never had my back. When I told him I wanted to press charges against his brother, he went to his family. And since they all said no, he didn't. Divorce. 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 I'm sorry. Like, that sounds dramatic, but this is your wedding day, wedding night, wedding week, and he couldn't respect you. He couldn't listen to one thing you said. He allowed all this to happen. And I know it was the brother's choice to drive drunk, but he started all of this and he did not stand up for you at one time. I'm stressed for you. The day we were supposed to leave for our honeymoon in Mexico, I told him I wasn't going and that I wasn't even going to file the marriage certificate because of how many times he chose his family over me that weekend. Yes, we did. Oh, okay. There's a change here. We did eventually work things out. It's been almost 6 years now, but his brother still has never apologized for anything he did. He believes that spending one night in jail was punishment enough. Oh, boo-hoo. No, it wasn't. That would make me mad for eternity. No, I don't know. I just, to be around that toxicity, the brother-in-law going to act that way and not apologize to you, his brother's wife, I could never be around someone like that. That's terrible. It also took years and a lot of couples therapy for my husband to even acknowledge he had any fault in what happened. How did you guys eventually work things out, though? That's what I'm wondering. Like, who made the decision to say, you know, we should try this again? If he couldn't even apologize or realize that he had any fault, the fact that he didn't even back you up, he didn't want to press charges against his brother for stealing your truck and literally ruining your wedding morning. That's literally picked his brother before anybody. That is wild. Oh my gosh. She said, let's just say it was a wedding weekend I'll never forget. This poor woman. I mean, I hope she, you know, with everything she has, feels like, okay, he's apologetic and we can work through this and we're good. I mean, she said it's been 6 years now, but I don't know if I could let something like that go. It wasn't just a random day or a random holiday. It was your wedding day. You plan for this. You spend tons of money on it. You picture everything. And he had to be dumb If I had done something stupid to ever ruin someone's wedding day, you better believe I would be kissing their feet for the rest of their life. That's how I am. I could like forget someone's birthday and like the next day I'm texting them and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry I forgot your birthday. This would literally make me feel so upset. Like, oh my gosh. The fact that the brothers never apologized, I need to know, like, are you going to family holidays? Are you going to family birthdays? Did the rest of his family apologize? Like, this is terrible. That's a very wild story. I feel like if you guys have 100% worked through everything and you're happy and you guys are a healthy relationship now, you should redo something. Do some kind of vow renewal thing or redo a ceremony with just the two of you and trusted friends. Like, what happened to this Jay guy? Who's this Jay guy? Is he still a friend? I think your husband needs new friends. Wow, that would make a good skit. All right, guys. Well, that's wild. Jail story. This poor woman. I really hope to God that they've worked things out and it's much better now. But I don't know, guys. I don't know. But, wow. All right. Let's get to this week's confessions. We asked, be honest, what's something a family member expected from you that felt unfair? Okay. This says, as a kid, I always got less presents than my brother and had to be grateful for what I got. Oh, that's so sad. It's sad because, like, I think people don't think kids notice that, but I think they do sometimes. And that's why I only have one. To let my grandma's friend come to our very small ceremony that we already cut people from. Yeah, that's hard. Money, because I got a bonus. What? A family member expected money from you because you got a bonus? That's the thing they always say, like when you win the lottery, you win some kind of thing, to be careful about who you tell because people will start kind of coming out of the woodworks. Oh, remember when we were 15 years old and I bought you that CD for $10? Remember when this happened? Then people just kind of like start coming out asking for money. That's wild though. Mother-in-law posted on Facebook with her friend's grandkids playing grandma to try to get us to try. Ew. So weird. Being the perfect sister to siblings that treat me like or I'm the bad one. I feel like there's a lot of pressure like that when it comes to siblings of like the blood is thicker than water kind of thing. And it's as you get older, you kind of realize you choose who you want in your life. And if they treat you in a bad way, you don't have to let them around. You just don't. You are in charge of who you let into your space and how often they have access to you. I think we say that a lot. Boundaries, right? All right, last one. My husband had to leave our reception to deal with his drunk grandpa. His mom wouldn't do it. She hid. It sucks when it's someone like taking away from your day. But especially when it's like a family member and someone else could probably handle it, they're gonna have the husband leave the reception. That's pretty crappy. Sorry that happened. Wow. Okay, guys, that was a lot. It's late. I hope that you guys enjoy these wild episodes. I know I did. You guys are always keeping me on my toes and I'm always looking for the next skit as this one is coming to a close. By the time you guys listen to this episode, I think we'll be done with the Scarlet story. And then for everybody wondering if it's not up yet, we do compile them all into one long story. And then YouTube just started this feature called Shows, which is really awesome for the kind of series I do because they'll automatically put them in order and then play them just like a TV show, kind of like YouTube or something. But yeah, so I'm working on a next storyline for you guys. Again, by the time you hear this, it'll probably already be out. And then I have a bunch of minis that I'll be posting pretty soon because your girl's got to take some time off this summer and work on some other stuff as well. But excited for some new content coming out. Like I said, we started the first coffee combos. I have some other little minis in the works that I'm really excited for. Just some new characters coming out and just having some fun with some different things. But that's all I got. Thanks for hanging out with me this week and I will see you next time. Bye now. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Hey Krista Innes for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.